Friends, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today from Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the story of life for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Dear friends, would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, speak to us the word, the wisdom, the grace, the love, the light that we need to hear this morning. Speak through me, through the meditations and reflections of every heart in the room, through the silence and space between the words, through the moment of just being together in worship. Amen. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Love your enemies. Be perfect, as your God in heaven is perfect. I thought about just saying that much and then sitting down and letting us all meditate for 10 or 12 or 15 minutes or an hour or as long as it takes to ponder in our hearts what it would look like for each of us to do those things, to love our enemies truly. I heard of a pastor once actually who did do that, who stood up and said, love one another, and sat down for 5 minutes in silence, and stood up and said, love one another, and sat down 5 more minutes and said, love one another, amen. He did that for 4 weeks in a congregation that was experiencing some conflict. And you know, at the end of the 4 weeks, they kind of found their way at least to the start of loving one another. So we could have done that today, love your enemies, and I could sit down in our us versus them world, loving across borders and boundaries and the lines we've so carefully and intentionally tended can be so hard and challenging. Maybe the best thing we could do is sit in silence and meditate in our hearts. Who is my enemy? What would love look like for that one? And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So maybe you'll do that silent meditation at home. Today, I'd like to tell you that we are made for that work. That you and I are made for that work, hard as it may be. And I'll tell you how, and we'll get there via a sort of circuitous route today by a story. I sat with a woman in our community today, not a church member, a community member, in the end of her life. And sitting with her reminded me of my first day of chaplaincy training, something all ministers have to do in order to get ordained. In my first day, I was called away from my orientation, where I was learning proper rules about hand washing, to a bedside where a chaplain was needed. With only the Bible and the patient's name, I entered the room and learned that the woman was dying, and no family was able to make it to town yet. So would I pray with her, and then would I be with her in case she went before family could make it? I was with her, and she did pass. It was my first death, and it was one of the hardest and holiest things I had done up until that point in my life. She taught me how to die. But more importantly, she taught me something about living. As I left the hospital that day, I stepped out into the main sunshine, and everything felt different. I called a mentor and I said, "What do I do now? I have plans to have dinner with a friend tonight, and I just sat with a woman while she died. How could I possibly go have a beer and a burrito with a friend who didn't stand with somebody while she died today?" And my friend and mentor said, "Aha, this is important, Em. You didn't die today. And you didn't lose someone you love today. So today, a beer and a burrito with friends is exactly what you need to do. You peered beyond the veil of this life today, and that will change you. So first, go see those friends. Have your burrito and a beer, maybe two beers. And then," she said, "get about the work of letting that experience change you for the better and distill you into the pastor and the person you are becoming." It was the best burrito I ever ate. It was heaped with guacamole, and I did have two beers, and I raised each of them to Ruth in a toast, and that experience did change me. And the point of this story isn't about death, it's about life. Standing with Ruth as she passed that day, or Leon as she passed this weekend, always distills things for me. Everything is crazy and chaotic, and we're running around like we have all the time in the world. And days are so often just long to-do lists of monotonous things that need to get done, and all of a sudden, I found myself at a bedside, remembered that time is limited and life is sacred, and suddenly the mud settled. I could see what was important. I could see who I was and who I wanted to be in all of it. Do you know that experience that I'm talking about? Have you had one of those experiences, maybe at a bedside or maybe somewhere else? That experiencing of suddenly being shaken into the knowledge that you are alive. Suddenly being startled into remembering that life is happening today. You are living. Maybe it's learning that your friend's cancer is in remission, or maybe it was the day you learned that you were pregnant, or maybe it's that moment when hundreds and hundreds of geese flew in a flock overhead. Have you had those moments? Does something come to mind? Would anybody call out? What's one of those moments when you were startled and shaken into realizing you are alive and life is sacred? A beautiful sunset. Mm-hmm. A beautiful sunrise. Mm-hmm. Sun sparkling on snow. Getting up and being alive every day, a rainbow. Seeing Jack Sprat. Skiing Jack Sprat. holding a first baby. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Last week I said the scripture was about snowstorms, and it wasn't, but it was about holding hands and needing one another, mittens and all, in the snow. This week, our scripture is about that startling moment when you know you're alive. And it isn't. It's about all kinds of complicated things. It's this fourth chunk of the Sermon on the Mount, the last chunk of the Sermon on the Mount that we will look at. But the Sermon on the Mount goes on for another two chapters in Matthew, so I urge you to finish it on your own. The scripture is about hard things like loving enemies and disrupting violence. But those things are made easier by the last line in the text. Will you look at that line with me? That last line in the text, that really hard line in the text that says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your God in heaven is perfect." Well, we know the gospel, this gospel, was originally written in what language? Greek, that we know this gospel was originally written in Greek, and what we read here is a translation. And the Greek word translated as perfect, the word is actually telos. And telos, a better translation would be completed or intended end. What an object or creature was created for. Another word might be purpose. An apple tree's telos, for instance, is to bear apples, And a spoon's telos is to be a spoon, to scoop hot chowder, or better yet, big scoops of ice cream into a waiting mouth. And so this text is saying, move towards your telos, your purpose, what you are becoming, as God is living God's telos, God's completion, God's intended end. Or as David Lewes paraphrases, be the person and community God created you to be, just as God is the one God is supposed to be. This passage isn't actually, then, about perfection. This passage is about what happens when the mud settles, and we are startled into remembering that we are alive, and we are created for something bigger than us, that we are here with a purpose. And I don't know what your telos is, because it might be a little different for each one of us, but I imagine your telos, your intended end, has something to do with God, and something to do with love, and something to do with community, and something to do with blessedness and beauty and salt and light in the world. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche once wrote, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." Jesus is saying here that we have a why, a purpose, a telos, something we are doing and working towards and completing. And it is rooted in that telos that we can do all the other hard things he's talking about, like ending cycles of violence, like going the extra mile, like even loving our enemy. Scholars, Walter Wink especially, have done some pretty fascinating things about the particularities of this passage. Wink writes about how soldiers could force a layperson to carry a pack for 1 mile for them in their grueling soldier work. And so Wink says, Jesus tells the person to carry the pack for an extra mile, which would be a military infraction, and the soldier then could be punished for it. Likewise, Jesus says in this passage, a person demands a coat from you, give them your coat, and give them your cloak too, and then you are naked, and seeing a naked person would be a shame to the one who demanded your coat. Wink goes through each activity in this passage and explains how Jesus wasn't talking about submission. He was talking about subversion. And that may be. That certainly sounds like the Jesus I am trying to follow. I am certain that Jesus is not charging us here to submit to harm. The text has been misused to tell people in unsafe positions to turn the other cheek and to stay in violence. And so as I told the children here, I have to tell you here again that this is not a text saying if you are unsafe, to turn the other cheek and stay in the position where you are unsafe. If that is true for you, Jesus would tell you, be well. And sometimes loving the person who is making you unsafe means freeing them from keeping you in harm. If this is you, my door is always open, and I am happy to help you get to safety. I do think no amount of historical context or play on words gets us out of the hardest charge of this text today, which is it resonating in you too, to love our enemies? Mm-hmm. And I also know the only way to work towards loving our enemy or doing any of the hard work of not responding to hate with more hate and breaking cycles we are so ensconced in is to get to those mud-settled places of knowing what's important and who and whose we are. That's what I read in this passage today, is that to be a disciple of Christ is somehow to live always in that sunset, sunrise, first baby, snow sparkling, sun sparkling on snow, just left the bedside moment, when you are startled into the truth that we are alive, that life is sacred, and we are doing something here. We have a telos, a purpose, a completion of what God has started in us. The telos of an apple tree is to bear fruit. And the telos of a spoon to scoop a hot pile of something delicious into your waiting mouth. And your telos, in the words of Mary Oliver, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? According to Jesus in this sermon, it should have something to do with love, something to do with God, something to do with community, something to do with blessedness and salt and light. And it is out of that telos, out of that why, that we can find our way, beloved of God, to any and through any how, including loving our enemy, including finding our way through dangerous and challenging times, including whatever it is life is going to bring our way. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Alleluia and amen.